The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way. Catamaran home! James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Catacast reunion. Jack Blanch is in the automobile.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be in the studio today.
And what a fine studio it is. We've just been to the Maronites. I didn't know they were Maronites because it was after Saint Maron.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Not a Miazophite.
After Saint Miazophi?
No, he's anti-Miazophite. I think I'm getting that right.
Possibly. Right? I don't remember.
It's been a big... Jack's about to get on a big international flight. At some point, we're going to drive off and get some barbecue and bring back the barbecue.
Yes, I'm feeling very sick in my stomach, as I always feel before a big international flight.
Jack had a missile-related accident today.
I don't know what's happening. I clench my fists in my sleep. It's only happened since my wife got pregnant. Yeah. I started clenching my fists in my sleep. Because all I could think about is what a bad father I'm going to be.
Yeah, I mean, one of the joys is seeing other people be a very bad fathers and saying, well, I'm not doing that. But you said before, you know, don't you get stressed about big international flights?
Yeah.
And I think we've had such bad, short of the plane crash.
Yeah.
We've had everything possible go wrong, and we've done it with very small children.
Sure.
So, you know, very soon you'll have a child and you'll have to do a big international flight with that child.
I know.
And then the thought of getting two adults on an international flight will
fill you with such satisfaction. Honestly, when it's just me, it's actually fine. I don't feel that bad about it.
Margot's displacing the...
I don't know. Any excuse I can to have extra anxiety, I feel like I will take.
Margot is like a duck sometimes in that on the surface... You know, the exterior Margot will be very, very calm and everything's fine.
Oh, yeah.
But under it's like the surface.
Duck. Yeah. Churning the water.
Churning the water.
Uh-huh.
I think Taylor's definitely like that. I'm the opposite. I'm an upside down duck. I'm actually fine.
There's a lot of churn going on the surface.
Thrashing around.
It's actually very calm and peaceable underneath.
We may as well give people will want the update since last we were together on a podcast talking to one another.
Well, we recorded one in July last year, which we never released.
I mean, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I didn't see it, so...
Sam Clark is a busy man.
He is.
All right, but we go back a year. So I came to America. I came back to Australia.
Well, also, the last one that we recorded that we released was actually recorded, I think, in 2023.
Oh, man.
Or maybe the start of 2024. It was the start of 2012 because I was still dating Margot.
You were dating Margot.
We weren't engaged. I don't think she'd left yet.
She went to America. She came back. You got engaged.
Yeah.
I went to America. I came back. You got married.
Yeah.
You went to Rome with Margot.
Yes.
And I
met the Pope. America.
The then Pope.
Pope
Francis.
Yeah.
Did he whisper any? He said, "The third secret of Fatima. I've been waiting for someone to tell the truth."
He had a very nice conversation with a Spanish couple in front of us, and then did not want to talk to us at all.
The clenching of the hand is driving me.
Sorry. Yeah, if you would have noticed it earlier in the week if I told you about it.
This is so nice that you are now, you know. I remember having my first child and the stress and the difficulty and the...
Well, it's, you know, it's going very back nice. Home very to nice. Nothing, starting
yes.
all over again.
Yes, Jack.
Oh, man.
Who could say what that's like? Young family
it's
in
us.
Adelaide.
It's
living
us.
With your parents.
Uh-huh.
No job.
Yeah.
Welcome, brother. That is the forge from which greatness is born, I do believe.
What about mediocrity? That's what I was aiming for.
No, see, this is a problem. I was just, me too. I thought, oh, I hope I could get not even a real show on ABC Adelaide, the radio broadcast.
Yeah.
But if I could get, you know, Spence Denny's job. If I could have
the 5 a.m. shift or something.
Give me Sunday brunch, you know? Give me a weekend breakfast. I'll uh-huh. take it. Couldn't get mediocrity. Had no choice but to become...
Great.
Shoot for the moon and you'll land way beyond the moon.
Well, to all James's Australian listeners who don't know, it's been going with him. But like, James has taken me to the mothership a couple of times.
That's true, I have.
And James is in the inner sanctum by the looks of things.
We got to go to Shane's house last night and watch the Crow Boys
rack up a
manful win over West Coast, which also had some biff, and that was nice.
That was nice. I think Shane really enjoyed the part where all the NFL players are punching each other in the head.
But then there was insufficient head trauma, and so we watched NFL concussion highlights for ages.
Yeah.
We had to watch something wholesome at the end to
Shane
balance
was,
it out.
Yeah, he was insatiable for those concussion knockouts.
It was. Yeah, that guy. I think that guy's in a wheelchair.
Oh, he's dead.
He's dead. They weren't actually dead. But when they get paralyzed in their hand, man, you want to talk about funny hand movements. Those concussed fellas.
Oof, the dinosaur arms.
The dinosaur arms. You get to leave America now.
We're leaving this afternoon. We're flying to Dallas, and then we're flying to Melbourne, and then we're flying back home to Adelaide.
Ooh.
So that'll be nice.
What are you happy to go back to in Australia, and what do you think, now having lived in Rome and America, will annoy you immensely about Australia?
I never really credited this idea, which you had advanced to me and our friends Paul and Mads advanced to me many times,
yeah.
that Australia has a sort of small-mindedness about it.
Yes.
And I never believed that because I always thought that was quite a personal accusation.
People don't like hearing that.
No. But now, having lived overseas for almost 12 months, I understand entirely what they mean.
And it is like I think I've surrounded myself in Australia with people of greatness of spirit. It's one of my favourite qualities in a person.
Yeah, but I've always been proud of my small-mindedness, and I am looking forward to going back.
Oh, you're looking forward to going back and being
Australian.
Small-minded once again. Sick of all this big-minded nonsense.
That's right.
Stay
I don't
small.
Care for all this beautiful architecture.
Man, some of the architecture here is foul, but some is... Austin does not have a lot of fancy architecture.
America is a weird place.
The Capitol building was very nice.
Yes.
Large red Capitol building. The Alamo, if we drove south, if we had time for that. We've run out of time for an activity today. I'm going to get you to the airport by 2.
That's okay. I am so stressed.
I understand.
If it were me, if it were up to me, I'd get to the airport like 9 o'clock for that 5 p.m. flight just to make sure I got the flight.
Well, you'll want to rack up the points and get in that Admiral's Lounge.
Yeah.
I sometimes go to the Free Admiral's Lounge, or as it's known, the Multidisciplinary Prayer Room. Always empty. I'm told a great spot to jack off. That's what it tends to get used for.
Sounds like Parliament House.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The prayer room at Parliament House, all sorts of unpleasantness. But it is actually wonderful.
Yeah.
Not that I, of course, would not defile the Multidisciplinary Prayer Room.
Of course, by praying in it.
I think I tried to do a podcast in there once, and a janitor walked in. I was like, forget about it. But it is, you know.
Well, our friend, we have a mutual friend, ZZ, who's a big international traveler, and he has just come back from, like, Europe and America, and he got back home about 2 months ago. And then he got an email from, like, his airline that he flies with all the time, and they're like, oh, if you just did, like, one more international trip, you could get, like, gold status and get into all of our,
ooh.
You know, blah, blah. And he called me and he's like, you know, like, it's such a shame. I'm not planning on traveling, so I'm going to miss out. And I was like, dude, just do a status run.
Yeah.
Fly to France and back. Stay there for a week, come back. He's doing it.
He is.
He's doing it. He's leaving the day I get back. So he's gone for a couple of weeks.
You can buy the extra points, I think, can't you?
I don't know, but it's probably cheaper just to book a flight.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to Paris and walk around the arrondissement? We almost made it on our trip to the UK. We were going to catch the Eurostar, Tay and I,
oh, okay.
And spend 2 days there.
Yeah.
And just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's twice I've now been to...
It's a lot.
...the UK, yeah. And entirely planned to have a little trip to Paris. And just couldn't do it.
I mean, I first spent time. Like 2 days in Paris in my early 20s, and it was... It's fine.
I yearn. I want to go to Shakespeare and Company.
I would like to go to Shakespeare and Company.
I've heard so many stories about Shakespeare and Company. I suppose I'm in a stage in life now, both of us with children, where they won't let us live at Shakespeare and Company.
Well, you never know.
I can believe. Did I tell you I met Maya Hawke?
I don't know who that is.
Son of daughter of Ethan Hawke.
Oh, right.
Have I discussed this with you?
No.
Ah. All right. So we know a guy. Who Al, if you're out there, God bless you, God keep you. I hope things are going well. Everyone else gets texts. How come I don't get a text? Give me a text. I want to know how it's going. He was in this bookstore called the Shakespeare and Company, the English language bookstore in Paris, and he said, I stayed at this bookstore, and I stayed there with Ethan Hawke.
And well, I think the deal was Al had a room there.
He had a room there,
and
but Ethan Hawke also
just
had
slept in the bed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said to him once... Have I told you this? I don't know. I said, do you have a picture or something that you can prove it? And he said, look at this. And he handed me a photograph of himself.
Yeah.
And I said, Ethan Hawke's not in this picture. He said
Ethan
Hawke
took the photo.
Took that photo.
Yeah.
And so I got to meet Ethan Hawke's daughter, Maya Hawke,
right.
Who's one of the girls in Stranger Things.
Right.
Who were backstage at a show in Atlanta.
How old? She's like, must be like a teenager or something.
She'd be mid-20s. She's one of the older girls.
Okay.
And she's a star.
Which one is she in Stranger Things?
She's the Scoops Ahoy girl who comes in on the third season.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes. She plays a lesbian. In the show.
I only watched the first two episodes of season 3. That's why.
She is so good. She's a welcome addition. Usually the season 3 added extra person.
Yeah.
Big mistake. Exceptions would be in Cheers. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't remember Cheers well enough to remember season 3 of Cheers.
Who's the guy who seems dumb? Woody Harrelson.
Right, okay.
Woody Harrelson gets brought
He's
in.
A later addition, is he?
He's a later addition. Yeah. And he is a joy. Anyway, I talked to her and I made a beeline for her. And they're all young, you know.
Yeah. Successful.
They just wanted to come and see Shane.
Yeah.
And Shane wasn't there yet. Shane's off talking to some basketball player or something.
Uh-huh.
And I come over and the stranger, you know, they get, you know, some of them are going, oh, it was a good show. Well done. And some of them are bracing for me to be a weird fan.
Yeah.
I just go straight to Maya Hawke and I say, did your father ever live in an English language bookstore in Paris? And she went, oh, hello. And, yeah, Shakespeare and Company, and I was there then. I said, did he ever stay with a man there called Al? And she, well, I wouldn't know who he was staying with, but yeah, he definitely spent a lot of time at Shakespeare and Company in the years that you're describing.
Uh-huh. That's so funny.
I should never have doubted. It was too unusual a celebrity
it was
to have chosen.
A tall tale, yeah.
It was really, anyway, that made me very happy. That's the sort of greatness. And you said, oh man, it makes sense of Americans that we've met.
Yeah.
That they have this capacity for dreaming big.
Yes, and this country is a land of opportunity.
There's money everywhere.
There's money everywhere. People are doing things. People want to do things. It's crazy. Everybody's got a dream here.
And some of those dreams are dumb and vulgar.
And insane.
But they are dreams.
Yeah.
I think it's important to dream. Despair being, of course, the only unforgivable sin.
And there is also quite a bit of that here, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an issue. I fear, because my intention remains to come back to Australia one day. And the circumstances in which that takes place, we've spoken about a lot, and I don't know how to. That's a weird matter that I have to pray on and continue to pray on, and blah, blah, blah. But I fear when I go back, and I've spoken to a lot of friends about going back to Australia, and I won't name all their names, but you can guess who I'm talking about, that the mediocrity will... The sense of people not wanting you to do great things will start to weigh.
Yeah, but on the other hand, you know, it's home.
Oh, yes, it must be done, but I don't think any change can be achieved. I like that having come to America and been to Rome now, your first big takeaway you shared with me was that we wronged Malcolm Turnbull.
I did say that. Yeah. I just thought...
I don't imagine you were a Turnbull man at the time.
I was not a Turnbull man at the time.
Neither.
I'm thinking about it a lot. You know, you have these like disappointing prime ministers in a rotation, and you get to look back on all of them and go, which one would I have actually liked to keep? And I think Malcolm Turnbull could have had a couple more years.
We had a smart, powerful, accomplished visionary.
Yeah.
And we said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
You seem
too competent.
I remember when he was talking, when he made a brief, he had made an attempt to make a populist turn. For American listeners, Malcolm Turnbull was our prime minister, and he was the richest prime minister we ever had, and he was really culturally blue-blooded. He was deeply embedded in the top. You know, Robert Hughes was the godfather to his son.
He's one of these guys who speaks through his teeth.
Yes.
That's how fancy he is.
And so he was trying to, I just remember him going, we must do something to, this is him trying to be a populist. Well, something must be done to curb the influence of these elites. Saying elites in your attempt to take down the elites is wow.
Well, this is also one of the first jokes you told me when we met was the rich man champagne. Your anecdote, maybe false anecdote.
I don't remember this.
You said on stage, you claimed, although perhaps think...
I did have a dinner with Malcolm Turnbull.
You were at some event and Malcolm Turnbull was there and you ordered a West End draft.
I don't remember saying that he'd said this, but it must be true. Yeah.
And Malcolm Turnbull came up to you and said, the poor man champagne.
That's the sort of common touch he lacked. So I think Trump's even more elite and strange, but because he embraces it and he gets around it.
Yeah, he can go stand at McDonald's and look like an idiot. And
he seems to love McDonald's.
Yeah.
Whereas if you are actually a wanker, we won't tolerate
that. Well, because Trump also has the vulgarity to him, whereas Turnbull had no vulgarity. There was nothing vulgar about Malcolm Turnbull. There was only la-di-da.
Well, people would say that a scandalous rumor, probably not true, but that he and Lucy would...
Oh, really? I've never heard
that. I heard that. But, you know, you imagine that at party with masks and robes and... I can't be sued for defamation.
I like
that's
to believe
honestly
that
held
happen.
Opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Australia. Sweet cry, boys. Geelong, we watched the Geelong game.
We watched the Adelaide game this weekend.
It's been nice to have people to watch footy with.
Yeah, it has been. Yeah.
And the fact that Shane seems to have genuinely... I've convinced one person to really love and follow Aussie
although
rules football.
He does not seem to understand it still, but he enjoys the spectacle of it.
I would say that every point where I feel he doesn't understand is a point that's so poorly officiated that you couldn't understand
that's
it by watching.
Probably fair.
There's a level of understanding the rules that, short of watching four men trade barbed jabs on a panel show for an hour three times a week, you know, like in terms of what is a legal tackle?
Yeah, nobody knows.
Good luck. You're getting away with driving the head sometimes, not
what
other times.
What is 15 metres?
What's a trip? What's 15? What's holding the ball? Used to be 360. Very easy for everyone else. You do a 360, that's it.
Well, they did change that rule.
They did
actually change that
but
rule.
But now, it's, you know, people will be... Darcy Fogarty, I think it was, got tackled, was on the ground with the ball. It had two blokes on him. They gave him four. Now, he managed to get rid of it, but they gave him 4 seconds on the ground. It was a long time of him scrambling on the ground with the ball.
A great deal of the chat while we were watching the Crows game with Shane was his commentary on James's unusual love for Darcy Fogarty.
He's a handsome fella. I'm a big Fog fan.
Yes, there was lots of slurs.
I'm a Fogger.
Leveled at James.
I think Darcy Fogarty is the man. And it was sad to have Tex out. And... I love text. I hope everyone's all right at that club.
This is one thing that I've noticed about America is they are fascinated with Aboriginal Australians.
Oh, yeah.
This is just like something that I was at a party when my wife graduated and I met the parent of one of her classmates.
Yeah.
And he just bailed me up in the corner and wanted to talk to me about Aboriginals the whole time. And he didn't call them that because they're not quite up to the lingo yet.
Hold on. You hold this microphone and point it at me.
All right.
I'm going to now commence our drive to get the barbecue and then we'll continue the podcast.
That's great.
We'll take a little break when I go in to get the barbecue. They love talking about Aboriginal.
Well, they're just
people.
Fascinated by it because it is a very different circumstance, I think, to what they experience here. And, you know, they just think it's so normal for them for American Indians to, like, be quite wealthy, I think.
Not my experience, but there are so few and they're so in Oklahoma.
Well, and there's the casino thing, right? Like,
there
I
is
mean,
a
that's
casino
the,
thing.
That's
the
kind
a lot of
like,
white people get rich on the casinos. I don't know how
sure.
many actual day-to-day running. But there is a sense that, like, there was a battle.
Yeah.
There were a series of fights. A deal was struck. Not necessarily a deal that was advantageous or fair for the Native Americans.
But they got something out of it, and the Aboriginals did not.
It's much closer, I think, to the Maori situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, whereas not having a treaty means that the war is ongoing.
Yeah.
Now, the sad thing about a treaty is it is an acknowledgement that one side has lost a war.
Uh-huh.
And that would in some ways be a step back. Yes, let's get deep into the racial politics of our country.
Well, I don't really it's want very, to, but yeah, the Americans are fascinated by it because obviously they're fascinated by any racial politics because that's the only way they understand politics.
I find there is like a childishness to older white Americans when they come overseas. When you know, when you ask about the race question in America, and people almost giggle like it's, oh, I can think about this without being terrified.
Sure.
That I'm going to say the wrong thing. I can actually have my thoughts and express them. I don't even know what they are yet. Oh, let's find out.
Yeah.
And that is about Aboriginal stuff, how I feel in America, where it's like, I can actually...
You have the space to actually think about it.
I have the freedom to think about it, because there's absolutely no room permitted to think on that topic. You know, there are certain... It's a taboo.
Yeah.
It's a huge taboo.
Sure.
And you're not allowed to come up with solutions or find new places to put blame or even say that it is a problem or acknowledge that it's not a like
yeah
you just you believe what people whatever the Commonwealth Bank tells you to believe about it that's what you're meant to believe.
Yeah, it's
excuse
fine.
Me.
I do miss Australia's social democracy. I miss social democracy. I did feel in Rome that there was a kind of like. Like, Europe feels like... I mean, Australia's a European country. So when I was living in Rome, it was kind of, like, familiar.
Yeah.
And you sort of felt like, oh, they speak another language here, but it's the same kind of culture. Whereas in America, you get here, and it's like, everybody speaks English, but man, oh, man, is it an entirely different place.
That's so funny, because Scalia says the opposite. Scalia was ethnically Italian and grew up in America.
Yeah.
Not Chief Justice, but Justice Scalia. And then he says he goes to England and he feels this is exactly the same place. But
it's
I go to Italy and it's a whole other world because the functioning of the democracy is very different, but the legal legal codes are very similar.
No, but it's also like it's just like the what it engenders in its people.
Yeah.
Right? Like I just felt like Italians had the sort of same complaints and the same appreciation that Australians do for their government.
Make them do the paperwork.
Whereas here, it's just like it's a totally different, like the Constitution and their rights and all this sort of stuff.
Sense of having a right.
Everybody's all about it all the time. You can't go through a conversation without people bringing up America, how great America is.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's an insane place.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah, I know you do. You've got a good bit on it, James.
I've got so many bits. I've got to write some material about something else. But I mean, they have a great pride, but here's the other thing. This is something I haven't managed to say on stage because I think all right, in Australia, people do not express that same pride and that chest beating and saying, I love this country.
Yeah.
You criticize the country, people get furious.
Yeah.
In America, they really go on and on about how great it is, uh-huh. And then you say, here are all the problems, and they go, yeah, it's so bad.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got to do something about them.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if a foreigner comes to Australia and starts talking jive, or even someone of non-entrenched Anglicity.
That's true.
Or Aboriginality.
They're not going to get a good hearing.
We kicked Yasmin out of the country.
Yeah, sure.
We say, I know you're an ABC presenter and you're a beautiful woman and you have an interesting headscarf. You've said something about the Anzacs that we barely understand.
It's time for you to leave.
Off you go to London where they tolerate that sort of business. In America, they import men from overseas to attack
criticize
them on television. They say, wow, don't we love our Trevor Noah? Don't we love our John Oliver?
Uh-huh.
Please, give us, please, sir, may I have some more complaints? I find that very weird.
That is very weird, yeah. Because there's like these, you know, at least two big political ideologies here that are so distinctly different. And so both of them can recognize there's something deeply, deeply wrong in the country.
Yeah.
even if I don't think either of them are particularly right about their diagnosis, everybody's happy to say this country has problems.
That's the centrist position.
Yeah.
Is you are both right. Whereas having no...
No, I'm saying they're both wrong.
you're both right about the things you hate about this country and
yeah.
the other.
Yeah.
And to some extent, I think that is correct. Now, hold on now. We're doing a little driving. I mean, I did not get to follow politics in Australia. You may have kept up with it closer than me, but it seems like the Labor Party has now purged the woke stuff and maybe purged everything.
Well, I mean, yeah.
We just have our philosophy as a nation is let the bureaucrats handle that.
I think it's an interesting solution to the sort of like politicization of the Gaza war in Australian politics, which is to kick out the Jew and the Muslim from the cabinet so that we will not hear any more about it.
Did we kick out the Jew and the Muslim?
The only Jew and the only Muslim in cabinet were kicked out. But we're just not going to talk about it.
Oh, Albo sometimes.
It's like the strongest move he's done. That's
yeah,
really funny.
So it was Ed Husick.
And
Dreyfus? Is
yeah,
his name Dreyfus?
Yeah, Mark Dreyfus. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, the Dreyfus.
We're having
affair.
A Dreyfus affair?
Uh-huh.
Makes you proud. Makes you proud. Yeah, that. I mean, it seems bizarre that we have to have an opinion as a country. I don't know the extent to which we can actually sway that one way or the other. I think of the war in Ukraine where I think it was Putin was asked, like, what do you think about Scott Morrison saying he's going to get involved? And he goes, what?
You know, it might have been Tony Abbott saying he was going to shoot.
Because he's done it twice. Because Tony Abbott said, I'm going to shirt front, yeah? And Putin's line then was, I think Australia is a long way away. And then with Scott Morrison, he was like, I've got to tell you, I don't think about that country at all, which is such a dig. We should go over there and put boots on the ground just to get back at him.
Well, so there's this big thing now about this Australian who went to fight for Ukraine and then got captured, and now he's been sentenced to prison for like 20 years in Russia. And like everyone's very upset about it in Australia. I mean, I understand that, but also he was a mercenary who went to fight a war against that country and then got captured by them. It's like, I don't know. Like that seems like that's the rules, right? Like if I went to fight...
No.
America in the Middle East, then...
As many young boys did? Go
yeah.
And work for ISIS?
And if I got caught, then I feel like there would be consequences to that. I don't know. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just like...
Well, Jack, that's because you're a coward and you can never see yourself becoming a militiaman.
I briefly considered it.
Did you? You thought about joining ISIS?
I thought about joining whoever was fighting ISIS. I was doing nothing. I had no job. I had no girlfriend.
You thought, Kurdistan.
I just thought... Yeah, I could go fight with the Kurds. I'm glad I didn't.
We had that one guy who did it, and I think he came back and screwed up a little bit.
Yeah, I was very depressed at the time.
People were so proud of him.
It was a really bad idea, yeah.
Going and fighting with the Kurds? Well, my dad is always like, I want to go with the Kurds and fight. And it's like, you're getting on.
Yeah, I feel like your dad, of all people, probably, you know, he could come out of that more grizzled and more terrifying.
It's probably
it was fabulous.
I loved
it. I killed 7 men with my bare hands.
He would do it. My dad is...
Your dad's a scary person?
Yeah. I love him. He's so warm and friendly.
I like him a lot.
I think this would shock people having met him, and he's been on the pod.
I can see why.
My dad, I think...
Young boys.
In war would,
terrified
be, would be fine.
In the classroom. Yeah.
I think my dad would come back from war. He'd be one of the... He'd be the Storm of Steel type thing.
Yeah, he'd be like, that was great.
Like, it was the most magnificent... I lost an eye.
I can't wait to do
happy
it
happy to lose it.
Yeah.
The last thing that I saw was the most beautiful... we might get in there behind...
I think they just pulled in.
Damn it! Yeah, well, what about that one behind it?
Very
what about that Chevy? What about this Jeep? They have so many things to load into that Jeep.
Yeah, they're getting out of that car.
Yeah. I was thinking of buying a Jeep. But people say that's a bad idea.
You want to get rid of this car. You don't want to get rid of your studio and upgrade to a new studio.
I don't want to spend money unnecessarily, but you can confirm for the listeners that this vehicle is falling apart.
The door handles are falling off. That's
I do need to fix
pretty
the
important.
Door handles. Who dares to write to me while I'm driving? Why is that woman squatting in that particular way to move things in there? Why is she doing a performative squat?
I think that's maybe the only way she knows how to do it.
I guess that's how she does it at the gym.
Did you see that old lady just walk past us, seeing us holding the microphones?
Oh, was she weirded out?
She thought it was really funny.
Did she?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I put these hazards on. She will. They'll be backing out. She'll be backing that thing out of there in no time. It is weird that I'm now watching a woman squat in the parking lot and talking into a microphone. And
You could edit it out.
No. I mean, weird for her. For the listeners, they've been with us every step of the way, and they know what's happening. I'm just lower the microphone while she sorts that out.
Two dozen eggs. It's hard to get two dozen eggs.
This is definitely a lesbian couple.
Yeah, it does seem like that. Whoa.
Swooped by birds. This feels like what the podcast used to be. I think this is where the podcast is strongest.
You're going back in time to...
Well, you said you listened to an episode recently and I was alone in a hotel room and I just sounded very depressed.
You did sound very depressed. I was very worried about you.
Well, that was not what I was trying to put out there for people. It is weird now having... I used to just have full mental breakdowns on the pod.
Yeah, like a weekly mental breakdown. Yeah. People really enjoyed that.
People thought it was great. And I got to be honest about my breakdowns. And now I feel like, you know, you got a couple thousand listeners and you have a breakdown and people go... Oh, no. You start getting DMs from people going, are you all right?
Well, also, it hasn't been very consistent lately, James. You haven't released episodes on a sort of regular basis.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh, one comes out. It's like, oh, there's one. I'll listen to it. And you give it a listen. And it's just you sad in a hotel room missing your family. It's like, this feels like exactly the same as the last one I listened to 2 months ago.
That's why there's been a gap. I didn't think people needed that every single week. Well, the through factor, I must say, is Wimbledog. I'll do a little plug now before we go on to get the barbecue. Wimbledog out now. Now we're doing 5 pages a week on the Patreon. You join the Patreon, you get to read Wimbledog. Jack, are you reading Wimbledog?
Look, I am on the Patreon and I have not yet read Wimbledog because I also thought...
What? You didn't like Wimbledog?
I was going to wait till it came out. It's like those streaming shows. You know, I don't like to do the week by week thing.
I understand.
I want to binge.
I want to... Well, when it does come out, I want hype to be built so it can rocket to number one, and then
I can't believe you asked me.
That'll be volume one of Wimbledog. This is my current financial plan. Is that Wimbledog? We're going to have a Wimbledog poster. Peter Bedgood, the illustrator, is working on a Wimbledog poster.
I've seen some of the pictures; they look great.
He's so good. We'll make a poster. We'll sell the poster. It's just about building hype in the community for Wimbledog.
Uh-huh.
And then when we release the first half or third of Wimbledog on our own, then we can go, look, this is a very good seller. Then we get a big book deal, you know, for the full Wimbledog.
Yeah.
And then that comes out.
And then you flip it into a movie.
Well, then I sell the movie rights.
Yeah.
And that's where...
That's where the rule
is. I don't really buy a catamaran. I have enough money to disappear
into the sea
forever. We'll be back after we get the barbecue. Bang.
Bang, we're back.
Oh, you're double micing it.
Well,
I like that. If people are enjoying this podcast, go and listen to the Catacast, the podcast that we will be resuming. Hey, we've swapped over. Hold on, I'm going to handbag. There we go. Yes, Catacast. It's out now. Catacast. We'll put a link in the thing. We will finish the Catacast.
We will finish it one day. Maybe many years from now, but one day. There's more to still release. We've just got to get Sam to finish doing it all, and I've got to answer some questions that he has that I have not answered in about a year.
About what? About the faith?
No. He
technical
asked me,
questions.
Yeah. And I just never got back to him because I was in Rome. So... Okay.
I mean, it's hard. The texts that I do not respond to have really started to mount up. Sean, I got your email. I'm looking forward to responding to the email. It was a beautiful email.
Sean, I've ignored several of your emails.
I love Sean's email. Sorry. I love them. I love getting them. I just sit down and
put it off because I was like packing.
Also, I can't. You know, he can't. He writes me a 1,000-word email. I can't just send him back. Yeah, good, mate. He's demanding with the length that I also write a long one. And I will do it. I'm happy to do it.
One thing I'm looking forward to getting back to, James, is although I hate the duopoly,
I'm glad it went in that direction.
Woolies and Coles are just...
Duopoly.
They're nice supermarkets. And
you found that confronting, the HEB?
No, it's just a real roll the dice in America what the supermarket's going to be like. Is the food going to be fresh? Is it going to be real food?
Did you not have a Kroger?
We didn't have a Kroger. We got all of our meat from the farmer's market because we bought meat from the supermarket and it was just trash.
Yeah. The one that I haven't been to, the big American chain that I haven't been to but I'm really looking forward to is the supermarket they have in the... You might have to grab that laptop. I'm sorry. It's called... Their supermarket is called Piggly Wiggly's.
Piggly Wiggly's.
Piggly Wiggly's. And I just love the thought of the South going, why won't they take us seriously? Now, if you excuse me, I must go down to Piggly Wiggly's. Piggly Wiggly's.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I once had a Piggly Wiggly bottle of water at a show because I was in a place where Piggly Wiggly was.
Uh-huh.
And I got to see the bottle. There's so many great... I mean, I think one of the nice things about America's supermarkets is that it is regional.
Yes.
They do not have national players in almost anything.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Banks are...
Banks, the banking system
strikingly
is
regional. You don't like it? I love it.
I mean, I like it. It feels like being in the 90s. And also, you have to go into the bank to do all of your stuff. So you have to go in and deposit a check. They still have checks here. It is like being in the 90s. And they've got, like, people there who know you. And they're like, oh, yes, Mr. Blanche, here's your account.
Also, some of them will not take on immigrants. Like, there's less standardized.
We were with the Notre Dame Credit Union because that's like a student bank.
Because they were going to help you out. But I tried to get away from the big banks here and found it impossible. I tried to go, you know, to a Texas bank. And when I was in Steubenville, I tried to, you know, I tried to bank local.
Yeah.
Huffington or whatever. And they said, nah.
Well, then it also makes it so difficult to, like, go anywhere else. Because, like, when we'll come down here, we're like, man, we're not be able to get to a bank. We're not going to be able to get money out if we need money. Because Notre Dame Credit Union has one branch.
One branch?
In Texas.
Well, you just got to pay the fee. You got to pay the ATM fee.
Yeah, I know. It's just crazy.
But it is nice to... I dream of starting a bank. We can't charge interest, obviously, as observant Catholics in any way. You can't charge interest. That's my understanding of usury.
Well, from what I understand, I think there's a Muslim community who are, like, getting ready to start a bank, basically, in Sydney.
The Bendigo Bank?
And they will not be, like, charging interest.
But you've got to be a Muslim.
I think so, but I don't know. I remember seeing something about it when they announced they were doing it, but...
Why can't we help the ladies and the fellas out with no interest?
I would join that bank in a heartbeat.
The Muslim bank?
Yeah.
Muzbank. The Muslim bank. Now, I think it's a Sunday. I'm probably good to park wherever, right?
Yeah. Do you have restrictions on where you can park on your
own
street?
This is an illegal park.
Right.
But it's my house.
Yeah, it's America, man.
I don't think it's... people park there all the time. I usually try and avoid it. But I will be giving you a big lift to the airport.
If immigrants have the right to, you know, a fair hearing before they get deported, you have the right to park this car wherever you want.
I say this as an immigrant. There's no way constitutionally we have a right to a trial.
No, but they're not saying a trial. They're saying you have a right to see a judge before that you get, you know, summarily packed off in a plane.
There's millions of them. How would you do it?
No, I know, but they're making a legal point saying, like, obviously, what if we make a mistake? We don't want to deport a U.S. citizen.
I would just say that it shouldn't... don't make it a judge, because the metric for being a judge, the criteria, it's very high.
Yeah.
Just, like, get some social bureaucrat worker with a law degree and be like... This is the one thing, you know. You know, like with COVID, they had like special COVID specialists who'd come in and ventilator technicians.
Right.
Who'd cram a tube down your throat till you died. That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my country, but, you know.
They're also deporting fewer people now than they were last year. Yeah. It's a funny...
It's a weird country.
I watched... I mean, we'll have to take the food in and we can finish the podcast later, but... I watched Tucker Carlson do his, like, a little speech to Australia because he came and visited and he got in with the...
Yes, I think I remember this,
Palmer,
yeah.
Whatever. And he was like, you know, you guys need to take back your country. You've got the same problems as we have, but you're not talking about it. You've got all this... And he listed things and some of them were fair enough.
Yeah.
And then he was like, illegal immigration. Huge numbers of illegal immigrants and refugees. And you go, no.
There's not. They're all legal.
They're legal and they have money. Now, if we had a lot of illegal immigrants, the housing crisis might... dissipate because the hombres work cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and they do good work.
Uh-huh.
If we suddenly had a million Indonesians come over.
Yeah.
Poor Indonesians from the countryside. I reckon they'd bang up some questionable houses pretty cheap. And that'd solve a problem.
That probably would solve a problem.
Whereas the Chinese millionaires are not dirtying their fingers with a toolbox.
No, they're just buying the houses that otherwise families would buy.
We are so ripe for a populist moment in Australia, and it's never going to happen.
Yeah, the problem is our laws, not our, like, the way we apply them.
Yeah.
We apply the laws fine. The laws are just dumb.
But it's very hard to have a rising. You can't like take over a political party the way you can in America. You just stack a branch. You just all join and then you vote. You primary somebody.
Yeah.
That's why they can have a two-party system, is because you can revitalize the party with public membership.
Sure.
It's the only, I think, there's like three other countries that have tried it and sort of gotten rid of it. And like in the UK, the parties have a plebiscite for half the,
yeah, you know,
whatever. People don't primary in their political parties. Political parties are put together from the outside.
Yeah.
And you, it's very hard to get in them and do anything to them. And in America, they make it so register. That's it.
That's it.
You register, you're in the party.
Yeah.
And you can meaningfully change the party.
Uh-huh.
We don't have that. And we fought really hard to stop that.
Yeah.
Repeatedly in this
Yes.
And then starting up a party is very hard. It's an ossified, excuse me, I go on and on, but it makes me upset thinking of going back and trying to change the political process in Australia and thinking this is so much more difficult than it should be.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy with King Charles. Just give him, just hand it back.
He's not interested.
Just hand it back.
He's not
interested. And that's what makes him so perfect.
I did notice Colin Quinn last night started talking about how it was a mistake to get rid of King George.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny.
Is the only point at which I felt the audience really turned.
Oh, yeah, he lost
them. They did not care for that at all. Freedom's good.
Yeah. He was great. Colin Quinn was great. Anyway, let's have some lunch.
All right.
Maybe revisit this podcast in the end.
All right. Possibly goodbye. Possibly.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.